The Bible reading today is from Matthew 9, verses 27 to 34. Jesus left that place, and as he walked along, two blind men started following him. "Take pity on us, Son of David," they shouted. When Jesus had gone indoors, the two blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I can heal you?" "Yes, sir," they answered. Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, "Let it happen then, just as you believe." And their sight was restored. Jesus spoke sternly to them, "Don't tell this to anyone." But they left and spread the news about Jesus all over that part of the country. As the men were leaving, some people brought to Jesus a man who could not talk because he had demons. But as the demon was driven out, the man started talking, and everyone was amazed. "We have never seen anything like this in Israel," they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, "It is the chief of the demon who gives Jesus the power to drive out demons." Amen.
So John is going to be speaking for us this morning, so just going to pray for him. Heavenly Father, I pray for John as he brings your word to us this morning. I pray that you would speak through him by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you'd open all of our ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning. And maybe our minds are busy and distracted, but I pray that you would help us to focus on you and on your word and what you're saying to us. Pray that you'll anoint John with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'd say that we're living in a time now when people all around us are crying out for real leadership, better leadership and better leaders. Maybe most of us can agree on that. What's maybe more tricky is, what kind of leaders do we really want? And we see that acute question facing America at the moment, don't we? Well, in Jesus's time, there was a similar sense of looking for better leaders, especially for the people who lived in Galilee. King Herod was a terrible king there. The Roman Empire, who he was responsible to, was totally merciless. And the Jewish religious leaders, they were pretty hopeless too. They were full of hypocrisy, and people there out in the sticks in Galilee certainly got very little help or support from them. But the people had hope that a Messiah would come. The scriptures had promised it, this promise of a son of David, a Messiah. They were expecting someone a lot like King David, who grew up as a shepherd boy and defeated Goliath and conquered and established the city of Jerusalem by force. God promised that David would shepherd his people Israel and become their ruler, and that David's son would establish his kingdom forever. But now, nearly 1,000 years after the time of David, the people had no one to lead them. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's how Jesus sees them in the verses straight after this in Matthew 9, which Deb will be looking at next week. So Jesus has come to be that promised good shepherd who will lead his people. And in Matthew chapters 8 and 9, we've seen him at work. And also in these verses we're looking at today, as we come to the end of this big section of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's wrapping up that big section now, chapters 8 and 9, and he's inviting us, the reader and the potential disciple, to think about who this Jesus is and whether we want to follow him too. Here in these verses, we have two miracles, and they're the last two of 10 miracles that Jesus has performed in Matthew chapters 8 and 9. If you remember in the book of Exodus, God sent Moses and performed 10 miraculous signs. And those 10 miraculous signs were to save the people of Israel from slavery and to show the king of Egypt and his people who the God of Israel really was. And now here Matthew is writing about Jesus performing these 10 miracles that show who he was. It's very carefully structured. And also in these two chapters, we meet 12 different people whose lives Jesus transforms. And the last three of those people we meet here in these verses, two blind men and a demon-possessed man who couldn't talk. After this, the verses at the very end of Matthew chapter 9 that Deb will be looking at next week are kind of transitioning us into the next, into a new section of Matthew's gospel where he chooses and sends out 12 people. Not the same 12 people as we met in these two chapters, but it's all very careful and symbolic and reminds us of the 12 tribes of Israel that God chose and the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy out the promised land. But before we get there, we've had these stories of 10 miracles that Jesus performed and 12 people whose lives he has chosen to transform, which together show the kingdom, the kind of kingdom that Jesus has come to bring and the kind of leader he is. Jesus is good shepherd who is compassionate and merciful to his people. And in this passage, Jesus, again, while he's on his way, he meets these three very vulnerable men and heals them. Verse 27, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." How can blind men follow Jesus? Well, think about it. And you also think, then again, how can any of us follow Jesus, really? It's a wonderful picture, these two blind men trying to follow Jesus. How can any of us follow Jesus? Our vision is often so cloudy. But these men, as they ask for mercy, what's interesting is that they use this attention-grabbing name, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David, they say. And I think it's that name that it explains the different way that Jesus reacts here and some of the strange things in this passage. Why does he go to an indoor place and heal these men in private? Why does he give them this urgent, fierce warning not to tell anyone about it? After all, two blind men appearing in the community, suddenly able to see, that's not something that you can keep quiet for very long, is it? But this title, Son of David, or Messiah, it pretty much meant the same thing, is a dangerous one to use. It draws just the kind of attention that Jesus wants to avoid for as long as he can, because people misunderstood it very badly. People with only a superficial idea of who Jesus is, going out blabbing about him being the Son of David is dangerous and divisive because of the kind of leader that people expected a Messiah to be, the same kind of leader that David was. And we soon see people being divided. None of them deny how powerful Jesus is. That's obvious from what he's done. The crowds are amazed, it says, but then it says the Pharisees say it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. So total division. And Jesus gave this fierce warning to the blind men because he wanted to avoid this division happening before it really had to. It was this division that led to Jesus' death in the end, if you think about it. Jesus had to do what he had to do in the end, but he did not want to be rejected for the wrong reasons, for what he was not. And if people that we know If people we know seem to have rejected Jesus, we should wonder, have they rejected the real Jesus? Or has Jesus been misrepresented to them? Have they got the wrong idea? Have we given the wrong impression of who Jesus is? Jesus was the promised son of David. And in some ways, Jesus was very like David, but in some ways, very different. We see Jesus here healing two blind men. And he does the same again, actually, later in Matthew, as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And this reminds us of the story of David when he conquered the city of Jerusalem. The people there told Jesus, the people in Jerusalem, when David was attacking the city, they told David that he had no chance. And what they said was, even the blind and the lame would be able to fend him off. And so David, as he conquered Jerusalem, we read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 5, as he conquered Jerusalem, he spoke about the blind and the lame as his enemies. But Jesus, by contrast to that story that they would have known, he comes into Jerusalem and he heals two blind men, and he goes into the temple where he heals the blind and the lame. So Jesus is a different kind of leader from David. David showed his authority by getting rid of Goliath. Jesus has shown his authority by getting rid of sickness and impurity and demons. He was much more than just another David. And the prophets and the Psalms had spoken about this new David, this new king who would come. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 22 and 23, God says, I will save my flock. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. And in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, it says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And Psalm 72, verses 12 and 13, it says of the king, he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. And so we see Jesus's mercy and tender care for these three very vulnerable men in fulfillment of the scriptures. With the two blind men, he invites a response of faith. He asks them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they say, yes, Lord. He touches their eyes and he speaks a word, and their sight is restored. And then there's the demon-possessed man who's brought to Jesus, who can't talk, possibly deaf as well as mute. And we're told this is because of demon possession, spiritual oppression. This is a very troubled and vulnerable man, a man with no voice. And Jesus restores his voice. And then we're told the crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. And probably this reaction, it relates not just to this last healing, but to all of the 10 healings and miracles in those two chapters that we've gone through. It goes together with the statement at the end of Matthew 7, where it said, the crowds were amazed at his teaching and authority, relating to the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. And now they're amazed what he has done. This is more than just a great prophet or healer. This is the rightful king of Israel, the good shepherd that they so needed. And he's shown who his kingdom is for. Just think back on who those 12 people are that he's reached out to in these two chapters. An unclean leper, the slave of a Gentile Roman centurion, Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever, two violent, demon-possessed men, a paralyzed man, Matthew himself, that the no-good tax collector, a little girl who has just died, a ritually unclean woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and now two blind men and a demon-possessed man who could not talk. People who were very vulnerable and looked down on. And who are the people that our world looks down on and dismisses today? I think probably not such a different list, perhaps. Sick and dying and mentally ill, spiritually oppressed, lonely, vulnerable people. People who in general, people who in general are not economically productive are very easily dismissed today as not important. But Jesus, he chooses these very people and makes them the focus of his kingdom. These are the people that he gathers in, the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, he led the way for us. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Good Shepherd. He showed compassion on people like this. Will we show compassion on them too? So we are all people that Jesus has gathered in, and in a moment we'll be celebrating the communion together, coming to the Lord's table. But before that, we're going to just sing a little song, which is, O Lord, your tenderness, melting all my bitterness. O Lord, I receive your love.